Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, world, for another show, episode Piercing the Veil. Today is July 18th, 2016. Last week, we were going to have a guest, Damien. He's a junior partner from Certified Forensic Loan Auditors. He actually was not able to make it. I made contact with Damien after the show, and he is scheduled for next week and has been confirmed to be there. So anybody who's in foreclosure that was listening last week, you definitely want to catch next week's show. And then for anybody who likes aliens and extraterrestrial nonsense and all these things that people poo-poo all the time, which has been proven so many different times that I don't even have the breath to waste on disproving. So for anybody who does like aliens, we have Johnny Delirious back on the show, who was abducted in 89 from his garage, and he was taken aboard a ship from a scout craft that he was abducted to. And when he was taken aboard the ship, he noticed that there was a joint venture or operations going on between the U.S. military secret space program and the E.T. Greys. And so while he was up there, he managed to tap into the hive mind of the Greys. He calls it the Resourcery Archive. He's going to talk a little bit about that. Potato, potato. But basically, he calls it the Resourcery Archive. And it's just like a hive mind database that he tapped into. And we talked about this on show 21, Corey. I'm not really sure if you were there. I can't remember.
I wasn't there for that show.
No, okay. Well, you're going to love it this time, man. Now, when we did talk to him previously, he explained a little bit about what happened to him, all the way up into the point where he was on the ship, the main ship, if you will, which was behind the moon. And he got to the point where he was just tapping in there, and we sort of had to wrap up because we lost track of time. What he's going to do here is he's going to talk about a few key points that he missed, and then after the first commercial break when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the second part of his encounter, what happened afterwards, how exactly did he get home, yada, 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 all that good stuff. Before we do begin, Corey, now that we've dropped the topic for everybody who's listening, I just wanted to see if you would please give the number to call in case anybody has any questions. Anybody who's listening, you have the ability to call in for free. We don't charge you anything. The station doesn't charge you. And, Corey, if you could just give that number for us, please.
I believe the number is 888-429-5471. Toll free to station 2.
Excellent. Yeah, that will bring you in. Please state your name clearly. Sometimes the line gets a little clouded while we're broadcasting, and we've been known to mistake somebody's name. I think on Daisy Windsong's episode, we called somebody Scott who had completely different name. So just state your name clearly. We'll be happy to answer your question or take your comments, concerns, stuff like that. Okay, before we bring Johnny on, I do want to talk about a few things happening. I discussed this briefly last week about the Dallas police shootings and the Black Lives Matter and the All Lives Matter and the kitschy catchphrase matter and all this other crap. if you do a little research, you'll know that the Black Lives Matter is funded by a known terrorist. It's listed across the world as a terrorist funding organization. And then also the founders, right? The founders have a laundry list of criminal violations, including murder and all sorts of different things that you can look up. And it's being funded by Soros, so on and so forth. So that's the likes, behind every great black protest movement is a rich, wrinkly-ass old white man.
Seems like okay? It.
Let's just throw that out there. So if you're not starting a movement yourself and you can't vouch for it specifically, or you don't know the person in your community that started a movement, chances are you might want to do some more research before you donate to it, make comments on Facebook, support it, yada, 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 or go to one of the protests, because you could end up either being A, dead, or B, a suspect in one of their false flag events that, you know, they may not be orchestrating themselves, but they're being used as fodder or means to an end or catharsis to start these types of things. Mm. I'm talking about the day of rage and all these other things that some, you know, the catastrophic summer plans and all these things that are planned. So now that I have that off my chest, if it's called Something Matters or if it has a catchy phrase, it's marketing. And you better believe that that's all that's for, is marketing to raise money and awareness and clout for hidden agendas. Okay? That's what that is. So the blue lives matter, all lives matter, black lives matter. No lives matter unless you have the, you're exercising your duty to make your life matter. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you're just some non-contributing person somewhere out there, your life matters to you, but it might not matter in the, in, you know, comparison to somebody else who's out there helping thousands of people feed themselves and all sorts of other things, right? There is a scale of what matters, okay? And to say all lives matter is to be new agey and ignorant. To say black lives matter is to be hypocritical and reverse racist.
Yeah, okay? all lives matter is just a, is just a, is a equally catchy inverse, you know, of Black Lives Matter. It's just, you know, just back and forth.
It's bickering
and nonsense.
Exactly. They just waste people. Here's two false solutions. Pick between one or the other, and the truth never comes out. Yeah. Okay, so now that we have that out of the way, we should have Johnny on. Johnny Delirious came on about, say, a month ago for show 21. And like I said earlier in the show, he was abducted. And basically, we got about halfway through his story. There are a few specific questions we're going to ask, but before we do anything else, let's just bring him on. Johnny, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Jordan, for having me back on your show.
Excellent. It might just be my mic, but I can barely hear you. Could you maybe turn up just a little bit?
Okay. Is that better?
Oh, so much better. There you are, Johnny.
Welcome back. Okay, great. Yeah, thank you for having me back.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. We talked about so much stuff, and Corey wasn't here, so during this show, if you don't mind, Johnny, he's going to be peppering you with pertinent questions. I know that's a lot of peas there,
okay.
But... okay, good. And I might have some questions for you, too. We did a brief recap. Is there anything I missed? Is there anything you want to touch on for somebody who might not have been listening?
Well, what's really interesting is you bring up the all these false flag incidents because, you know, when I was in the Resourcery Archive, the things that were bothering me over time, you know, I posed those questions to the mind, you know, because once I was inside that group mind and telepathically communicating, I noticed that I wasn't just communicating with the little alien who was sitting there. I was actually inside the group mind, which I call the Resourcery Archive, because it's both biological and hardware as well. So they're both tied together. And so it's really interesting that we're going to be talking about the beast today, because that's one of the things that drives a lot of this psychotropic activity, if psychotropic drugs aren't enough.
Social unrest and all these other things.
Absolutely. Should I go right into it? What the beast is?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, let's say this first. There are a few key individuals on this planet that are operating certain levels of hardware and spiritual and esoteric negative energies and all sorts of things that are being propagated through different means, like war, death, disease, famine, child sacrifice, blood drinking, rituals, all sorts of different things that they're using to propagate and magnify. And I believe, for lack of a better term, the beast is sort of like an etheric transmitter. It not only transmits energies to structure events and circumstances in regions of this planet, but it also has effects on the mind and the soul and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to drop that baseline of what I consider the beast to be, is a network of etheric satellites around this planet. It's just a combination of spiritual and physical hardware that's being controlled or under the control of etheric forces and they have their key individuals on the planet who are sort of like management of a corporation, if you will. Does that make sense?
It sure does. It's really almost spot on. You know, I posed questions to find out information when I was in the group mind. So, you know, when I was on that mothership, I heard German being spoken in the background. So, you know, it just probed my mind and bugged me in one way. So when I got inside this resourcery archive, one of the questions I posed the group mind was, are, you know, satellites in orbit around the Earth controlling our thoughts? And boom, the vision came back to me, and I saw these big round canisters. They were kind of shaped like on a concrete truck. You know how it has the big bowl at the bottom and a smaller...
Tapered?
Almost like an egg, but about four times the size of what's on a concrete truck. And they're black, they're round, and they're flat black. So they actually disappeared in the black background. They're very stealthy. So, you know, the beast is both biological and hardware, and it's a military term. It's an acronym. So I wanted to get that out right now so people can kind of process that. The term, you know, how they say your CEO, that's your commanding officer, you know, how the military is. But the beast, B-E-A-S-T, is Battle Engagement Aerial Simulator and Tracker. So I can break that down a little bit, how that works, if you want.
Yeah, please do. The different modes of operation, if you will. That's what it will be.
So the main purpose is the battle monitor, whether the battle's in space or it's on the surface of the Earth. So it also engages in psychic warfare or psychic implants for individuals, groups, or cities. So, you know, that's where the engagement is, you know, part of. And also it engages in other data like, you know, that 16-digit credit card number. It keeps track of all that stuff, too. So every individual's tracking, you know, by their credit card. And so it's aerial because they're in a fixed orbit. And that I can't know if there are seven or eight of them, but most of them are centered around or just in geosynchronous orbit around each continent. So they can monitor everything. And, of course, it's a simulator, so it can simulate image or plant thoughts and individuals or group. You know,
hormones.
It could put Jesus up there or the bat sign, you know, how the Batman puts his, you know, they put the sign out for Batman, any of that kind of stuff. And it can track. So the last is a tracker. So any movements of troops, ocean ships, aircraft, on the surface of the Earth or in space. It goes both ways. So it was built with nanotechnology, and nobody talks about that anymore, but that's one of the biggest secrets of the breakaway civilization is their ability to use nanotechnology. And they used nanotechnology back in the late 60s to build the first beast. But see, the beast is constantly getting more intelligent because it's part biological as well. It's got terabytes of memory, you know, just like our DNA has just literally unmeasurable amounts of memory.
So, now, Johnny, I gotta stop you here real quick because it's funny that we might be able to tie this in somewhere. I have a friend who's very, very high up in one of the financial networks internationally, and he has indicated to me that every single one of the major interbank transactions and all these other things are actually governed by an AI system down here on the planet. Now, I would propose that it's highly probable that that is actually oversourced or overmanaged by the B system as well, the AI that controls the global collateral accounts and all these different types of artificial programs that were based off, you know, the Asian dynasty golds and all these different things, and the Nazi gold and yada, yada, yada. But I think all this stuff might be tied together. So what do you think about that? Is there a planetary link to the financial systems through the beast?
Absolutely. What's the little numbers on the back of the credit card, the CV code or whatever?
Yeah, CV number, yeah.
Yeah, if there's a large transaction, they need that CVD code or whatever it is. And that automatically triggers and archives it in the memory of the beast, you know, per your account, per your individual, per your electronic signature, because people have their own electronic signatures just like they have their own fingerprints. And so that's how the beast can track you. That's how the beast can monitor your thoughts and your financial activity. So, you know, if they want you or want you to do something or whatever the case may be, most likely the beast is going to be pulled into that scenario.
To set up like a honeypot trap or a framing or...
Yeah, or to set up a mass shooting, you know, like there's always a lone gunman, right? You know, and there's always a drill. But this lone gunman was the one that the beast set up, but the drill was to make sure that, you know, there was enough cover-up activity to make sure it all gets pulled off right. But then
It's all redundancy, Johnny. You just hit that point on the head. It's redundancy. They have levels. They have the handler there. They have multiple shooters. They always come down to the lone shooter and just to, you know, close the angles and all these different things. And I think that you are 100% correct that there's an etheric or an energetic instigator, which is the beast system. So I wanted to stop you here so Corey could break in. He hasn't really had a chance to ask any questions. I know he's just bursting with those. Corey, fire away, man. What do you have?
Yeah, Johnny, do me a favor. Run down that acronym again for the beast.
Oh, sure. It's a Battle Engagement Aerial Simulator and Tracker.
Okay. Simulator and Tracker. Yeah, real interesting what you said about the about all these kind of false flag things. Yeah, there's always a drill. 9/11, right? NORAD was on a drill.
There's always a drill. And the guy that's the fall guy, that, you know, the lone gunman, when by the time he gets to court, if he survives, most of the time he gets killed, right? But if he survives, he's in court looking off in space like, Paul, what
is James Holmes in the supposed Batman shooter who was drugged up the scopolamine. If you don't know what that is, listeners, definitely check that out. It's some pretty nasty shit. So, Johnny, I just got a segue real quick now that you mentioned. You always hit these little points that I love. It's very often that they end up killing themselves or are killed by the police or blown up by a robot-delivered bomb, as is in the case of this recent false flag shit. But also the James Holmes incident, the guy that was supposedly the shooter and the Batman thing in the Aurora Theater, he was found in the original police report, he was found drooling on himself, Johnny. Drooling on himself with his hands in his lap, with the seatbelt crossed over and clicked in over both of his arms. The gun that supposedly did the shooting was locked in the trunk, right? He was sitting in the fucking passenger seat out back somewhere. And then all of a sudden, the blood stains that, if you look at them leading to the theater, are actually, or leading away from the theater, they're actually leading to the theater, like somebody was splashing the blood. Multiple witness accounts say multiple shooters came in from two directions throwing flashbangs and shooting. Understand?
Always multiple shooters.
They always, and see, here's the thing. So many people have called them out for the fake stuff, like Sandy Hook, a long time, 30-plus year retired police investigator, criminal investigator, completely blew the top off of that. And as a result, I believe they're mixing fake dead bodies, fake hostages, fake crisis actors with real actual killings and mixing the two and mixing them so that nobody can really actually figure out where it's, you know, where it originated, what it is, did people die or did people not die? And they get people arguing over all that.
The whole Sandy Hook school dam, the whole place is torn and leveled, and it's a clear lot right now.
Right. And all the victims moved into town 6 months before the incident.
And
or something
they show
to that
up in pictures everywhere and, you know, all these different types of things. So, okay, sorry to segue there, but it had to be done, sorry. And, all right, so we talked a little bit about the beast. Corey, you had him recap the acronym. Is there anything else that you had a question on about the beast before we move on?
I didn't get the if you could recap real briefly your actual abduction.
Sure. Once I came back into my garage and closed the garage door and opened the kitchen door, all of a sudden this light came down, and I felt very warm and comfortable. I thought it was a religious experience, actually. I was high on coke, as a matter of fact, and all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I was in a ship, and I was floating outside the compartment or bridge or whatever, because I could look in to see the people, the two beings, little aliens running the ship, but there was also a couple of military guys in military fatigue, and then there were some people, humans in gurneys, strapped down, about six of them, and so, but I was floating outside that compartment, and they called me a 309, the floater. So the next thing I knew is we're heading toward this big mothership that was in circle in orbit around the moon, and all I saw was we were going toward it, and by the time we got closer, it was so big that it blocked out everything on the moon. It must have been miles long. It was huge. And the next thing I knew, I was in this theater-type place. I'm assuming it was inside the mothership. And then shortly after, because there were different stages, I had blackouts. And but when I was starting to get in the Resourcery Archive was when I was alone with two little aliens in this room, and one alien, you know, got up and left, and then the other one was like, what I, you know, this is in 1989, so he was working on just this little flat screen, what we would call today an iPad, right? And that's exactly, you know, what I would call it, but this is back in 1989, so but he seemed like a young kid, so as I got closer, you know, tried to feel, you know, he seemed younger, and in it, a little bit more, he didn't seem mean, so as I got closer, I all of a sudden came into his thoughts, and coming into his thoughts telepathically, I started to tap into what I call the group mind of the grave, and that's when I started posing these questions, and when I posed the questions, if I posed it the right way, I'd find out a lot of information. It had to be posed in the right way, and oh, I could only understand what I could understand. You know, I didn't understand things that I didn't know about or have any experience with.
Only what was in within your frame of reference, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was all kinds of stuff that I saw, but I didn't understand it. Like the Indians seeing Columbus coming on the ship, they didn't never seen a ship before, so
they couldn't see it.
They just couldn't see it. So anyway, that's how I got inside the Resourcery Archive. I like to call it that because it was a subjective experience, you see. But once I gathered this stuff, and once I got back and I gathered the information when I recalled it, I would double check on the net to see if I could find validation from it. One of the resources that I found a lot of validation is called the blackvault.com, and it's all declassified government documents, and I found a lot of students, that's all government documents, so I actually validated a lot of this stuff, and the BEAST is a military term, that's a military acronym, so
yeah,
you know,
Johnny, I've actually, you're dead on, man. I've been to the Black Vault before, and that is an excellent, I don't know if it's still up right now, but you can check maybe. But Corey, I got to say this, you're really going to like what he's going to say about the Resourcery Archive here. It's a vibrational tonal interaction machine. So it's some people would say, you know, it's like the Akashic Records and you can tap into the universe. You know what I mean? But it's more of a hardware, biological memory, genetic memory / hardware combination of the grays and everything they've encountered. But what he is saying, and what we talked about in the first show, which you missed, is that the way you pose the question, the way you ask it, the vibration of the person asking the question, the vibration of the question itself, and then how it's posed and the intent behind it is going to dictate your results, if any, right? So by saying something and saying it in a different way, it's almost like a code. You have to like get the key to fit the lock so that the encryption will disappear and the information will be released to a certain point, an access point, which is your individual consciousness speaking the question. Make sense?
Well, yeah.
So it's quantum entanglement, Johnny. It actually, the consciousness of the grays and the database that they're tapped into spans the universe without lag, without delay. It's updated in real time, and that's how they do that across the universe, is quantum entanglement.
That is correct, because the original race are dying out. There's less than 60 of the original race. They're like 15, 18 feet high, kind of praying mantis kind of beings, and they're dying off, so then they're doing these hybridizations. And one of the things they did to preserve everything was to get, you know, everything they had in hardware. So once they got the biological hybrids going, they have both biological and robotic type grays. You know, some of them are living beings, and then others are kind of robots. But that's how they tie it all together to make sure that their race is preserved, not only genetically, but in all the knowledge base as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And so now you're starting to get into the specifics of why they started this Resourcery Archive, and what exactly would you tell our listeners who really have a lot of questions about this? You know, what are the details of this thing? Did you feel any sensations when you were retrieving answers? Did you see like a visual hologram? Like, how did it work? Did the answers just pop into your head along with the images? Did you get words? So on and so forth.
Right. If I was right on, you know, with my question, you know, is refrigerator made by dogs, I get nothing. But is refrigerator made by General Electric, I would get, you know, this huge thing, whether it be like, you know, advertisements about, you know, refrigerators and the General Electric company, or, you know, whatever I chose to look at, you know, and posed on. And see, that was one of the things that really fascinated me about it, because, you know, and what so many people are incredulous about, I was on coke, you know, and it's a stimulant, so I'm all, you know, I go, man, I got to find out more about this, you know, so I'm really going after it, and the little gray sitting there, he doesn't care, and so I'm finding out. So one of the questions I pose, you know, does, you know, because, you know, in the big, all of UFO is like, the whole UFO thing is all about Roswell. And, you know, what, you know, the Roswell's first crash and blah, blah, blah. So I heard German on the mothership. So I was thinking, gosh, you know, and I posed the question, you know, does Roswell have anything to do with the Nazis? And like, bam. So I got images. I got, you know, pictures of war. You know, recall the picture of Operation Paperclip with Werner von Braun there, you know, and I remember, you know, so these things that I knew started flashing in my mind, and then all the pieces started fitting together. And then I'd get impressions about what drove this and what the secret. So my question was eventually answered in a knowing. I just knew, oh, so it was definitely this or that. See, because the thing that bothers a lot of researchers and used to bother me was everything, all the disinformation about Roswell is about as much disinformation about the Kennedy shooting. I mean, there's just too much. I mean, the reason is, and what bothered me is everybody who picked up the wreckage and the bodies, who handled the bodies, whether they're the nurses or the doctors or the Army guys that put them on the ambulance, truck, or whatever,
dead.
They all seem to have disappeared mysteriously, right?
Yeah.
Either died, and so that's why I asked the question. So I found out, and my answer came, and it was like, okay, there are human bodies along with the gray alien bodies.
That's right. It was a joint venture.
In the crash site. And then they took them back to the hospital. But this is 1947, and the human bodies had Nazi uniforms on. Some of them lived, and some of them didn't, just like the grays. That is the big secret.
Yeah, it really is, man, because the Nazis were assimilated into the United States, into the organs of intelligence agencies and science.
NASA.
Yeah, and NASA. It's just irrefutable that the regime carried on in Argentina. Hitler never was killed. That was bullshit, and he lived on. And by the way, it's my theory, and a bunch of other people support with their own individual research, that Angela Merkel is Hitler's granddaughter. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, shame if I'm wrong, but I really don't care. I think that's the case. And what I'll say is this. There's always more to what's happening behind the true information than is what's released. And then you have the disinformation. So it makes it triply as hard, or three times as hard, I should say, to get to the root of the cause of what's happening. And yeah. The difference between knowing and thinking is profound. Knowing, an actual knowing, or a sense, or complete 100%, this is true, beats thinking all day long. And the fact that your answer is, once you've defined the subset of what was being delivered to you, it was like, what was the connection? And you went through all, it's sort of like Google results in your head, right? And when you click through all non-pertinent ones.
I mean, you explain it better than I can, because all I know is what I found. And then all I could do is put it in my 14 spiral notebooks, because the reason there are 14 is because those were 14 different headings. Like I had, you know, one notebook for liver and physiology, another notebook for the history of cocaine, another notebook was just the grays, and another notebook was just the Nazis, and another. So it went on down, the New World Order, the Plant Kingdom, the Beast, the Draconian Lizard, all these things I kept in a separate notebook, because when I recall that and I could focus on that, I was able later to not only go back in the group mind, but refresh and put in the details of what I didn't see, or, you know, everything in the beginning. Because before, it's kind of like so much stuff hits you, and then later, over the years, I mean decades, I fill these 14 sprawling notebooks.
Yeah, you're hitting on all the points exactly as I was going to bring them up. We seem to have a little bit of telepathy going here. I did want to touch on how the information was delivered, and you just basically wrapped it up for me. What I mean by that is this. You naturally, after receiving this info, naturally subcategorized into different files with titles, which are equivalent to your notebooks, right? So your notebooks with a different... Yeah, with the different titles, even though they were your interest, they were the represented the 14 queries that you made during that experience. And so you were able to actually, whether you knew this or not, you were organizing the etheric information that was transferred into your consciousness out through your body into a paper record format, as opposed to into a computer, into different files, just as if you would do it every single day in your life on your computer with your other files. And what I mean by that is there was some sort of natural urge or vibration or harmonic or something compelling you to do that, to write them in that way and to store them in that way, just as exactly the manner they were delivered to you into different subsets. And so while you're in there with all the Google search results in your head, basically you've asked the general question, you know, does General Electric make refrigerators, like you gave that example. And now you've got advertisements, you've got the mechanics, you've got the specs, you've got, you know, all these different things about GE. And you ask a question, who runs GE? And then all of a sudden, boom, now you're into this just one person name that comes up. So what I'm saying is you actually were able, and whether it was because of your heightened state with the cocaine or whatever, you were actually to absorb that exactly as it came in, and then spit that exactly out. Of course, it trickled out for you. It didn't come out at the same time. Otherwise, you would have burned your brain and your neurons and your synapses. And there's a reason for that. And so this is what our listeners really need to know, is everybody's done this in a dream. You had a prophetic dream or a revelation or, you know, a new idea or something. It comes to you in sort of a knowing, a feeling of what you want to do and the domain you want to do it in. And then the specifics sort of trickle out. And if people would actually look in their lives, a lot of the things in their lives play out like that. And if you can be conscious of what the source is, the trickles will come faster, and it will basically end up being a conscious download or a stream that you can utilize right away. What do you think about that?
Yes, absolutely. Very well said.
Hey, Johnny, let me ask you, did you get any indication as to why they pulled you in at that point? Did you ask them, or did you get a sense of specifically why they might have?
They wanted to study his brain, right, Johnny?
They wanted to study my brain on cocaine and how I react to things. And, you know, when they put the implant in me, it was like putting a tap on a phone line to hear the conversation, but they put a tap on my brain waves to read my brain waves. So they let me wander free. I didn't you know, I didn't go far because, you know, it was a little creepy. I was thinking to myself, well, okay, this is it, right? This is it. I mean, here I'm in orbit around the moon, and I'm just going to do coke, and I'm just going to make the best of it, you know? But I was very cautious, and I saw a few contractors, and one of the things that got me is every once in a while on the wall, I'd see, you know, because there were some others that weren't military, but they were just contractors. And, you know, on the wall it said, compliance is expected, insubordination equals death. So I think this was the, kind of the orientation for any worker that would come that far, like on, you know. And basically, so I tried to talk to one guy. He seemed like he was from Oklahoma or Texas because he had a little lariat on his neck, you know, like a Western, you know, Arizona or Texas guy would wear, right? But he just looked straight ahead like I was like a dead man. They're going, man, they're letting him wander around or, you know, whatever's going through his mind. So it was a very secure area, but I was on coke. And so I was a 309, and they didn't get many of those. And they wanted to see ultimately how to run the ships, because back in 1989, they didn't have mental capability in humans yet. They had anti-gravitation. They had a lot of exotic technology, but part of the being prolific was running the ships with your mind, and the Greys could do that. Their little hybrids could do that. And so that's why I said some of them were robotons, some of them were biological. But, that was the reason. And I think, you know, that was part of the reason for the implant, because they wanted to see, you know, the different changes in brain activity. I went in the Resource Tree Archive to ask that, too. I posed the question, you know, why do I have an implant? Is it because they want to read my mind? And just boom, you know, this stuff came out. Was it just the Grays, or was it, you know, nothing on the Grays? But when I said, so the American, you know, the Americans, yeah, boom, you know, and that's how I found out about it. You know, where the Nazis, the breakaway American secret, you know, our civilization that, you know, populating space and everything, boom, yes, you know. They were the ones that...
Johnny, I'm sorry to interrupt before I lose this thought. I wanted to jump in, and I just want to mention remote viewing and sensing and stuff like that. They're not necessarily tapping into anybody else's archives. They're actually creating a direct link or consciousness to an event or an area, whether it be past, present, or future. And the reason they can do that is because everything throughout the universe, time is irrelevant, echoes its time signature, if you want to describe it in time. But if you keep time irrelevant and understand what that's about, then it echoes its vibration, its origination, its source data, right? Its source code, if you will. And that goes throughout everywhere. And people can tap into it. That's the true Akashic Records. You're able to tap into it, something right. That everybody is able to do. Now, you just, somebody who meditates for 70 years or something might finally be able to gain the full ability to do something like that, or say somebody is born with a specific set of circumstances or DNA that allows them to do that, or they have a lot of near-death experiences, yada, yada, yada. But for you to have the ability, not knowing about all that stuff, being, you know, you're straight edge for most part, you know, working in a lab and corporate America, you know, stuff like that, for you to have the ability to tap into one of those, now I believe that you probably have an enhanced, how should I say, access to do this on your own. And I wanted to ask the question, have you ever tried this? I'm sure you've tried to tap back in and recall to the archive what you've already connected to, but have you ever tried to do like remote viewing or something outside of this and try for yourself?
Well, yes. And I, you know, I did the, I did several different things, you know, part of it, you know, yes, I've done the remote viewing, the group in North Carolina or whatever, Virginia, and I worked with them for a while. Another show, and I worked for the company for about three and a half, 4 weeks.
Do you find it easy?
Well, that was just it. It didn't seem to be a problem. I could get high scores, but I got, when I get into information that, so for example, like when I went to Vegas one time and going to a casino, I don't really feel comfortable in there. You know what I mean? The vibrations and everything, mm-hmm. they bother me. So, you know, when I was working at the company for 3.5 weeks, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, okay, the target is here. We're trying to find the location of the target, blah, 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 blah. So we, you know, they had like 4 or 5 people that did remote viewing in their own rooms and everything, and everybody would post on the map or on the blueprint of, or the building plan of all the different floors in the rooms and everything, where the target was or where he was in town or what where he was in the country, whatever like that. So then by doing that, you know, someone would say here, someone would say there, someone would say, but they're all pretty close together, so they just draw a big circle around it and they say, all right, we've got to focus on this one area. And but see, I didn't feel comfortable doing that. People say, well, gosh, you can start reading, you know, inside information from companies and make millions. But see, I don't feel comfortable doing that. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to feel bad. I just wanted to research the things that I wanted to research. And that's what I did. Like, you know, one of the things I wanted to really investigate a lot was about plants and how they evolved and how man evolved and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if I'm researching what I'm interested in, then I'm comfortable. And I don't feel like, it's kind of like, well, if you believe in karma, you know, you want to make good karma. You don't want to make bad karma. And so I've just grown to the point where I just want to make good karma so good things come back to me. And so that's when I just quit, you know, the company after 3.5 weeks. So, yeah, I did work, you know, and did all the Monroe courses and all that. So, but there's a big difference between Akashic records. Remote viewing is more like an astral travel experience. Yeah. But the Resourcery Archive in the group mind, it's telepathy, and you know, telepathically, if you're close to someone, for example, you can kind of feel their thoughts, or if they're not feeling good, you're concerned about them, you know, and you call them up. You just say, "Oh, well, I just thought I'd call you. Oh, I've been doing bad today," or blah, blah, blah.
It's like a spiritual Bluetooth is how I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing about the Grays is, like, they've been here for thousands of years, and the Nazis originally, you know, moved in and worked with them, but then when the Nazis became part of our military-industrial complex, they broke away, you know, from it and became really covert with the exotic technology and working with the Grays. And so that's why that's always been a secret. That's why, you know, Area 51 is so off limits and restricted, and that's why so many bases underground are being run by them. The interesting point about all this is the Beast is not only biological, but it's also, you know, computer, you know, it programs people. So even though the Nazis created it, it's really owned by the globalists. I mean, the globalists kind of run it through the financial sectors and everything. So that's why they don't bother the Nazis at all, because they've done so many good things to help them out in their effort to be tyrannical and world domination. The Nazis are just sort of off on their own. And, you know, don't bother me, I don't bother you, I'll help you, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's why right now we have a big tug of war between the neocon, you know, war people that want to keep our dollar in place, and then the secret breakaway civilization, they're actually Nazis working with the Grays. They're almost at a conflict now because the neocons are so worried about losing the power of the dollar. And the Nazis don't care, you know, because the Grays and the Nazis are continuing on with their agenda. And it's not necessarily to take over the world. They've already done that.
Yeah, there's a lot of factions duking it out right now. There's a lot more interest besides just the planet at stake. So you're absolutely
right. Oh, yeah, but Earth is the prize. Earth is the prize. No one's ever going to destroy the Earth. There's never going to be a nuclear war. So don't let anybody fool your listeners. Earth is the prize out of all the planets in our solar system. Earth
is the one. I keep saying that. I keep saying it's never going to happen. They'll just threaten like crazy that it'll happen. It's never going to happen. It won't. Any of the
There's more activity inside the Earth than on the outside of the Earth. There's more activity on the bases of the moon than there are on our military bases here on Earth. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're perfect. That's exactly where I was going to next. Okay, excellent. So, Corey, is there anything that – I'm sorry, I just have a lot of questions here, so I've been posing those. I know you have a few. Is there anything you want to wrap up with or any other things that you want to talk about with Johnny, anything that you want to ask him or discuss?
What's the – or did you get any indication as to future plans? And what's their long – what's the long-term plans? Of the entities that you were in contact with, did you get any indication of that?
I certainly did. That was one of the questions I posed, absolutely, because let me say it like this: the Greys and Nazis are going to continue, no matter what happens, whether we're all taken down to. I want to say something really quick because this is the long-term plan. To answer your question, I can really answer it really good this way. Is, since like in the 1940s and 1930s and 1900s, most people, it was like half and half. They're either sympathetic or parasympathetic. We fall biologically and our mineral results are that way. So, sympathetic are people that are driven. They're type A personalities. It can be good or bad. They can be Genghis Khan or they can be, the Wright brothers. They're driven and blah, blah, blah. But more and more and more, because of our diet and because of all the crud they're feeding us with the pesticides and GMOs and everything, more and more of our population are becoming parasympathetic. So parasympathetic
receiving
runs people that slows us down. It makes us compliant. It makes us bean counters. It makes, I'll just go with the flow like that.
Yep.
And it's not 85% of the population are parasympathetic, and the trend is going way up. I see it when I do the hair analysis, in the lab. More and
I'm sorry, Johnny. The timing's, there's a little bit of delay on my phone. I keep interrupting you. I apologize, but I wanted to bring this up. What you're describing is the transfer of a population who is in the human body and the human soul is inherently a transmitter. It's inherently an originator, a creator, a generator. You know what I mean? And in electrical terms, they're transforming the population from an output to an input. And that input is constantly fed crap, whether it be food or air or water or media or all of that. Does that describe what you're talking about?
Bingo. Garbage in, garbage out. And they just want compliant worker bees to dance around the queen. That's it.
Excellent.
So it's all going, Corey, to answer your question now that I've said that, is once they get the population so compliant, parasympathetic dominant, it's like, once they get that, then basically, the lizards will come out, the Earth will be theirs. And but the problem for them is there's still free will. See, the whole thing is to get rid of free will. Not all countries are eating GMO and eating all the crap. And so there's still, the internet and everything. So what's going to happen is the war is going to move into space. They don't want to have wars down here anymore. They just want to get the population more compliant by, chemically and biologically and mentally, and take the war into outer space because the neocon conservative war people that want us to preserve the dollar, they want to make sure that, you know, they eliminate what they call an alien threat, but it is no alien threat. It's another false flag. So when they take the war, I mean, right now the U.S. Army has this thing called Earth Space Defense. And so they recruit young whiz kids, and you can go join ESD.com. So you play the game, and whoever gets good at the game, they recruit those kids because automatically the game is training them to be soldiers for outer space. The U.S. Army is putting that on. And so, yes, yeah, that's joinesd.com. So that is the perfect dragnet for all the whiz kids. The rest of them are just going to be parasymptomatic dominant and, you know, just be worker drones. And all the battles go out into space, and the neocons are hoping that they keep the dollar afloat. But the Nazis don't care because they're out of it. They stay out of it. The Greys will stay out of it. But that's where, you know, 40% of our economy in black budgets are going to space stuff right now, space equipment.
Absolutely.
And everything like that.
Yep.
You mentioned battles in space. Who would be participating in those battles?
Well, that's just it. Most of it is going to be a false flag thing because they've got Robotons to run.
Talking about Project Bluebird, Corey, and a bunch of other things that were scheduled, and you can research that online.
Is it against other civilizations or?
No, it's hologram technology.
They want to fight aliens that are kind of come in to stop anything like that, so they want to be prepared for that. So the beast can keep track of everything going out there as well.
It's hologram technology utilizing the satellite system, Project Bluebeam, and also the Beast Network that he's talking about. And they could, like you said earlier, they could project an image of Jesus and, you know, make all the people think a second coming or all sorts of different things or battles in the sky and yada, yada, yada. It's just some sort of agenda.
They definitely want to stick to the religious code. Make sure that Armageddon is actually here and, you know, the Bible is all coming true. And that's how they're going to keep everybody compliant. And just, you know, bow to us because we'll take care of these kind of things.
That's right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, maybe like a minute. Johnny, I do want to bring you back on if you'd be willing to come back on, and maybe we could focus at that point on the technology aspects. What did you see? What did the engines look like when you looked outside of the... Oh, here's something. Hey, Johnny, did you see the Earth at all? You saw the moon.
Did you see
the Earth? Okay.
Absolutely.
Please confirm for every single person out there who comes across this, Corey knows where I'm going, that's why he's laughing, that the Earth is indeed a globe and a sphere.
It is a globe and a sphere. It's blue.
Thank you.
From a distance, and that's when the astronauts say the blue marble. They're talking about the Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that. Thank you very much.
But I would love to come back on your show anytime. I have an unlimited amount of data, but I do want to make a plug, because I don't know how much time we have left.
I do want to make a plug. We'll extend as long as you need. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We'll extend as long as you need.
Okay. I want to invite people to my class next Sunday. I hope you come, Jordan, because it'll be at the Doubletree Motel, the Blue Moon Psychic Fair, Sunday, July 24th. And I have a class from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And I guarantee you, if you come to that class, all the puzzle pieces will fit together for you. And, I mean, it'd be amazing because I'm going to go into the biological aspect of how all this control is taking place because it's amazing. I mean, in the lab, we see it. More and more people. When I was running the lab in the 80s, 80% was parasympathetic dominant in 1991. Now, it's over. I talked to Dr. Watts. He says, no, across the board, it's over 95%. And I'm like, whoa. You know, so more and more. We got people that are just, you know, going to work and going home and they don't care about anything else.
That's right. You know,
what happened to the human spirit? You know, it was taken.
Excellent.
It was taken by the bad foods and all the stuff we're exposed to.
Okay.
Come to my class.
We're going to, listen, text me the address and the time, and I'll be there. And we're going to have to close the show out right now.
I do want to bring you back on within the next month or sooner, and let's definitely talk about the technology, the dashboards, the displays, the HUDs, all these things that you may have seen, and then we can sort of delve into that. Next week, listeners, we are going to have Damian. He has confirmed he'll be back on, back in the area and available, I should say, and he'll be on next week. We're really going to get into the meat and potatoes of mortgage foreclosures and the fraud that's perpetrated against the people. We had a very aggressive, insightful show last week dealing in the originations of the fraud and so on and so forth. But that's going to be our guest next week, and then we'll go from there to see who's coming on after that. Thank you very much for listening. Always look within, and we'll see you next week.